The Tom Woods Show, episode 1881.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey folks, Tom Woods here, joined today by Brad Keyes, who up till recently was a track coach at Pembroke Academy in New Hampshire. But when he refused to force his athletes to wear masks, he was fired. He said in an email to the athletic director, "I'll come straight to the point. I will not put kids on the track and tell them to run any races while wearing masks." So let's talk to Brad today. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, Tom.
Well, like a lot of people, I read what happened to you and wanted to talk to you. And I'm a little bit late to the game, but better late than never, as they say. I can't imagine supporting you more strongly than I do, but at the same time, I feel like, doggone it, it stinks that the good guys sometimes have to be martyrs. You know, I don't want you to be a martyr. I want you to be a track coach. But we'll get to that.
I would not want to be a track coach.
Yeah, I know. So we'll talk about what all the implications of that are. But just give us the story. What happened? I mean, what is the situation legally with regard to masks? And had it recently changed, or was there some recent advisory, or had it been going on for a while and you just said, I'm not doing this anymore? What were the details?
Sure. So what happened is back in March, there's an organization in New Hampshire, the NHIAA. They're the governing body of high school sports in New Hampshire. They released their recommendations for the spring season for all the sports. And recommendations were that for track and field, all athletes would wear masks during all meets, all events, with a few exceptions. The exceptions they made were the shot put, discus, javelin, hurdles, and pole vault. Those exceptions were made for safety purposes. Everything else, they were recommending that athletes wear masks. So that's 100 meters up through 2 mile, long jump, high jump, triple jump. When I saw that, I was floored. And pretty soon after those recommendations came out, there were some emails going around between coaches that were somewhat involved in the NHIAA saying, hey, we've gotten a whole bunch of feedback on this. The coaches never actually approved these recommendations. They were approved by the Sports Medicine Committee. We're having a meeting on it in a week. Give us a chance. So obviously they were getting a lot of pushback, some complaints. So I waited a while. The week went by, no word on the meetings or anything. And then my athletic director sent out an email to myself and the other coaches on the team saying, here are the current NHIAA recommendations that we're going to be following. And I looked at it, nothing had changed. So I emailed the athletic director. I asked him for clarification on a couple things. One, the NHIAA only gives out recommendations. So I was asking, are these recommended or is this going to be a requirement? And if it's a requirement, I wanted clarification that that meant athletes would be wearing masks in races 100 meters up through 2 miles. And he said that, yes, NHIAA only recommends. It's up to the schools to accept those recommendations. And our school, along with the schools we were competing against this spring, got together and accepted them and therefore made them required for all our meets. And he also reiterated that, yes, masks would be required all races. And I subsequently found out it wasn't just the races. It was going to be during all workouts, during all practices as well. And I didn't know exactly what to say in response to that. I found the whole concept beyond absurd. I mean, one, just the fact that you're outside, wind, sun, plenty spread out on the track anyway. And everything I had read said there's virtually no evidence of spread outside anyway. And then to put masks on kids while they're doing what's arguably some of the most strenuous athletic events in existence was just, I'm actually getting to the point where I'm almost willing to call it child abuse. I find it damaging, potentially damaging physiologically, lungs and everything else. I've thought a little bit more about what the masks are doing. I'll tell you that in a minute. So I slept on it. I knew I wouldn't tell the kids to do it. I thought I'd quit. And then I rethought about it and I decided to make them make the decision.
I like that. Yeah, make them do it. Exactly.
So I wrote a letter to the athletic director. I said flat out, I refuse to make the kids wear masks in meets. I listed my reasons. I mentioned potential health reasons. We do have kids with asthma. We have kids with heart conditions, then just the general stress it puts on the body. But my fundamental reason was I wasn't going to lie to the kids. I wasn't going to stand up in front of them and tell them this makes any sense. It's going to do anything for you or anyone else, and that there's any reason for it. And then after I got through that, I decided to send the letter to everyone I could. And I titled it very intentionally to get attention. I titled it, "Fire Me If You Must." And that's how I started and ended the letter. I copied all the media I could find, parents, athletes, other coaches in the state, because I figured they'd fire me. I didn't give them a whole lot of choice, I didn't think. So that was on a Saturday. By Monday, I was fired. Just got a little email from the athletic director saying, basically, you're relieved of your coaching duties. And fortunately, it did catch attention. And that Monday afternoon made front page of both of our local papers. By Tuesday, we had four Boston TV stations and two radio stations up here interviewing me. And by Friday, I was on Tucker Carlson, Fox and Friends, and some other national. So I got the attention because I was hoping we were going to get enough pushback to get these mandates removed. And so far, it hasn't happened.
All right. Well, hard to know where to begin here. I mean, I'm sure as somebody in the midst of something like this, you wound up being, if you weren't already, very informed about it. I mean, you can find even the World Health Organization saying you should not exercise, much less extremely strenuous exercise, with a mask on. They just say that. They say that flat out. And the interesting thing also about the World Health Organization, for whatever else you can say about it, they have not actually been that gung-ho about masks. If you look at their statements, initially they said if you're sick, you might want to wear one if you might be coughing or sneezing. But they were not recommending universal masking of healthy people. And even today, their most recent statement is that we have only limited and inconclusive, inconsistent scientific evidence regarding the masking of healthy people as a way of halting transmission. I mean, if you were to say that, they'd call you a crank and a weirdo and a conspiracy theorist. It's sitting right there. You know, I can find that for you. It's not hard. So, and now, by the way, to like an additional kick in the teeth, now it's like everywhere I look, there's an article, even in a mainstream source. It's like they all got together saying, you know, wearing masks outside is kind of stupid. You know, we should stop. There was just an article on that the other day, and I don't know if it was Salon, one of these outlets saying, yeah, we should stop doing this. It's pretty stupid. Well, you should get your job back.
No, it's beyond frustrating in that, like you said, the WHO says not to. The CDC has said not to wear during strenuous exercise. The governor had a mask mandate executive order that expired last Friday. That executive order called out specific exemptions, including all K through 12 students and during strenuous physical activity. So this NHIAA decided to implement these recommendations. And this is one of the kind of cute things that's going on, and I use cute in a bad way. NHIAA doesn't have any power. They only recommend. And then the schools look at the recommendations and decide whether to accept them or not. But the schools rubber stamp them. I haven't found a single school in the state, and there are 200 plus schools in the state that didn't accept the recommendations. And then you go to the school, and I actually had a parent email the headmaster of our school and ask why this was done. And the headmaster's response was, well, we had to. So the schools get to point at the NHIAA and say, oh, well, they said we really should do this. And the NHIAA gets to say, oh, well, they're only recommendations. So no one has to be responsible for it. And to this day, the thing I'm hitting on the hardest right now is I've sent the NHIAA a set of six questions that I'd like answered as a concerned parent. My daughter's still on the track team. I'd like to know who's on the medical committee that approved these, what their qualifications are, what the votes were for the recommendations, if there are any meeting minutes, what their scientific justification is for going against WHO recommendations, CDC recommendations, governor executive order exemptions, and what their rationale is for all of these mandates or all of these recommendations, either scientific or common sense. And so far, they've just ignored it. And the school.
No, they ignored it? Yeah. What a surprise. I bet you were shocked.
And I know why. I mean, I've said it on multiple interviews, and it's unjustifiable. there's no way anyone can stand up and justify these recommendations. And I mean, I'm focused on track, but the one I point out every time I'm talking about this is tennis. Singles tennis, you're spread out 30 to 60 feet from anybody else. In this state, all singles tennis players are wearing masks during practices and matches, outdoors.
Yeah. Now, is it the case that there are other people who are coaches, who are in athletic programs, who know how ridiculous this is also, but and maybe they support you privately, but they're just going to try to work within the system the best they can?
I haven't heard anyone who says they support these recommendations. I've heard from a few coaches privately that they're glad I stood up and did something. I certainly hope there are lots of other coaches out there who believe the same thing, but they've been very, very quiet. I know a lot of them work in the school system and might be afraid to say things, but honestly, I'm fairly disappointed in the coaches around this state for not standing up and saying anything. And this is the secondary thing that came after I got fired that I started to think about. Basically, what we're doing, or what's happened, and I've heard this from a couple coaches and a couple athletic directors, they're basically saying to the kids now, oh, well, when you're in the race, there's nothing you can do if the mask falls down or off and gravity takes effect. So we're winking and nodding to the kids, and we're saying, ah, well, here are the rules, but they don't really apply. And what I said it would lead to before the meets start, and I now have photographic proof, you go to a meet and you watch the races, and maybe a third of the kids, when the gun goes off, they're pulling the mask down under their chin. And it's usually the better kids, the ones who know, who've done this before, know what the races are like. They're running without masks. Then you have a few other kids with masks under their nose. And then you have other kids with their masks on. So we've created races where some people are handicapped and some aren't. It's an unlevel playing field. And we're basically telling the kids to cheat. And that's how the coaches are getting around it. And I'd say it's not universal. There's some teams that are really insisting that the kids keep the masks on. But I'd say the vast majority of teams are just telling their kids, if the masks are down, it doesn't matter. And the officials have stated they won't be the mask police. So there won't be penalties if your mask gets pulled down.
So what this means, obviously, is that if you're a coach who follows the rules, which you shouldn't be in this case, you just shouldn't, you're putting your students, not only are you making them do something ridiculous, but you're putting them at a competitive disadvantage as compared to the ones who flout the rules.
Yep.
But if you actively tell them to flout the rules, you'll get fired. So what you do is you wink and say, well, you know, what can you do if the mask slips down? I mean, I would rather have coaches kind of secretly tell the students, look, everybody knows this is ridiculous, right? We all know this is ridiculous. Because I actually think one of the things students need to learn in school is that sometimes orders that come down from authority are ridiculous. There are times, believe it or not, when people tell you to do ridiculous things. And you need to know how to act in a situation like that. Because what most people are learning in school is just to shut up and be obedient. That's why we're in the situation we're in now.
It's funny you say that. Yes, I'm very, very strong libertarian. I moved here with the Free State Project 15 years ago. Yeah, I debated about that. And it's a good lesson to learn, but I decided I wasn't going to be the one to stand up as somebody they're supposed to look up to and learn from and tell them that I was going to do this and it makes any sense.
That I get, because you're also showing them by your decision to defy it, basically, and accept the consequences.
Right.
That's another way of showing them the rules are ridiculous.
Yep. So, and I've gotten great support from the kids on the team and the parents. It's funny, I've gotten 150 unsolicited emails and texts and phone calls about this from all over the country. I've only had two negative comments, and they were of the eloquence of loser.
I mean, yeah.
So I'd say the vast majority of people look at this and say it's absurd. And that's what drives me absolutely nuts. I can't find a single person who can justify doing this, yet it's being done.
Yeah, yeah. Folks, let's take a minute to thank our sponsor, Skillshare. Do something today you couldn't do yesterday is not their tagline, but it could be. There are so many fascinating classes on Skillshare on topics including illustration, design, photography, animation, productivity, and more. I recently took a class on Skillshare called Storytelling for Leaders, How to Craft Stories That Matter by Keith Yamashita. And honestly, if you know how to tell stories, you can sell things through advertising, you can do email marketing very effectively, you can get people to follow you, you can get people to be spellbound by your public speaking. It's a very important skill. My daughters have used Skillshare to improve their skills in some of their own hobbies, particularly artistic ones. And with Skillshare, advancing toward a goal is achievable with short lessons, hands-on projects, and classes designed for real life. And what I mean by that is that Skillshare helps you move your creative journey forward without putting life on hold. Their short classes are a perfect fit for your busy routine. You'll create real projects and get the support of fellow creatives so you can accomplish real growth. Push yourself a little bit outside your comfort zone and do something today you couldn't do yesterday. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/woods, where our listeners get a free trial of premium membership. That's 2 weeks free at Skillshare.com/woods. You know, of course, the beginning of this month, we had that full capacity Texas Rangers game. Mm-hmm. And of course, all the hysterical people said, look at all those unmasked people, and they're all sitting next to each other. And you know, they use the word super spreader all the time. They use it like they use the word the. They use super spreader so much. And then, you know, it's been over 2 weeks now, 2.5 weeks. And you can look at it, nothing happened. As sensible people knew, nothing happened.
Yep.
So all the more, a small, you know, relatively compared to the Texas Rangers stadium, relatively small number of kids running around a track wearing a mask. Now, what does this mean for you? I mean, you need to make a living.
It's part-time seasonal job. It's not for the money. It has small stipend. I used it to buy equipment. I'm a independent software developer. So it's not about money. It's not about my livelihood. It's about the kids. I mean, the primary focus for me is I want the kids to be able to run unencumbered and to be able to train properly and enjoy the sport. I love track and field in high school and college, and coaching's one of the most rewarding things I've done ever. So that's what it's about, not about the job per se or the money. So, but my plan is I don't want to work within organizations that will do this to kids. So I'm going to start, I had started this even before coronavirus, a private track and field club. It'll be open for all ages. I'm looking for land right now. I have most of the equipment I need. So that's the direction I'm going to go over time.
All right. That's great. That's great. Now, do you, you know, I almost hesitate to ask. I hate to ask people what is their advice for so-and-so, because everything's a very individual decision. You have to decide what you're willing to tolerate and whatever. But you're a kid on a track team and they're telling you to wear a mask. I mean, would you just advise them to pull that mask down, or is that bad sportsmanship, or what do you think?
I mean, at this point, I would advise them to pull it down, because I've gone to a couple meets and I've seen photos from other meets, and the better kids in the longer races are immediately pulling their masks down. I'd say don't handicap yourself. If everyone's not doing it, there's no reason you need to follow that rule, because it's absurd and everyone knows it.
Have there been other cases of this kind of thing, as far as you know, in athletic programs where people have just said, forget it? It seems to me I could probably count them on one hand.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of anything in my experience that I would think is similar.
Yeah, the fact that nothing's coming to mind, it's incredible how few people have done anything, honestly,
yeah,
in this situation. How few. I really, really thought there would be significant resistance, but geez, if people are going to do something as irrational and anti-science as making kids on a track team wear masks while they're racing, I guess they would just pretty much do anything they were told.
Well, and that's what got me most concerned, long term anyway, is I don't know how to fight it anymore than speaking up. And that's what I'm encouraging everyone to do. Everybody seems to be thinking the same thing, but not many people are saying it, or not enough. And I was hopeful when the governor mask mandate got dropped that maybe this week it would give them an excuse to say, oh, we've reevaluated. But I haven't heard anything like that, and I don't know if it will, but maybe down the road it'll prevent something like this from happening again. I don't know. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Well, I don't know really how to conclude this other than to say you did something important, and I'm glad you don't rely on this for your livelihood, and I like the idea of the private club that you're setting up. But you are an example to people. You show there are people who will stand up and say, I simply will not comply with this, especially given how ridiculous it is that even the people who have been imposing restrictions on us for over a year now, even some of them are cracking and saying the outdoor mandate makes no sense. They at least will admit that.
Yeah.
So now that's almost becoming the conventional wisdom. Now, we all know that doesn't really do anything. And you actually had to lose your job for saying something that they're now admitting. I mean, seriously, they should write you an apology and mail it to you. Honestly, within the next month or two, when everybody's admitting that it's stupid to have outdoor mandates, at least. And I'm against all the mandates, but outdoor especially, they owe you an apology. But you know what? I'm going to make a prediction. You're not going to get it.
I think no. I would be absolutely blown away should that happen.
Yeah. I mean, it would almost be a world historic moment that we would need to commemorate every year afterward. That's how unusual such a thing is. They make you do something ridiculous and then they actually admit they were wrong. But you were right. And I'm glad that you have students who appreciate what you did and understand why you did it. You know, it would be interesting. I would be interested if I were in your shoes. I would be interested to show up at the meets and see what they're doing with the masks.
Oh, I will. My daughter's on the team. It's her senior year.
Oh, well, then. I mean, then you have perfectly good reason to be there.
I will be at all the meets. The first one's going to be this Saturday.
Wow. All right. Well, great, man. Well, listen, again, thank you for reminding us that there are some people who will draw a line. I mean, you know, even if it's in one small part of the world. You know, you drew a line and you inspired other people at some point to say, there's got to be a line for me too. So, Brad Keyes, I appreciate that very much and your time today.
Well, thanks. Real quick, I want to thank you. I downloaded your charts CNN didn't want you to see.
Oh, good.
I'm getting that out to as many people as I possibly can. I mean, I've seen similar things, but yours is collected so nicely and so concisely as you're scanning through it. It's again, I don't know how you can look at that and come to any other conclusion than what you're stating.
I appreciate that so much. Well, next week, I'm going to be... Thank you. I have an interactive site that we've created that I'm going to be launching next week where it's a quiz and people have to guess. For example, here's a chart of what happened with COVID in a dozen Midwestern states, but we're not going to label the states.
Oh, I like that.
I want you to pick out Iowa, which has not had any restrictions for close to 3 months. Pick it out. It should be obvious, right? Death should be everywhere. Then also no dates on it. We're going to use this chart again. Where was Thanksgiving on this chart? Remember Thanksgiving was going to be mass death everywhere and a big spike? Can you pick out Thanksgiving on the chart? So it's going to be pin the Thanksgiving on the Midwest. And I guarantee you people can't do it. So it's going to be, we've got probably 25 questions in this quiz. It's going to be great. Yeah.
I'll watch for that and get that spread.
Thank you. If you downloaded the book, then you're on my mailing list. You better believe I'll be mailing that baby out when that's live next week.
Oh, that's so great.
All right. Well, listen, thanks again. I really appreciate you doing this.
Thanks. Are you going to be at Porkfest this year?
Oh, you better believe it. I sure will.
I'll introduce myself. I'll be there.
I have heard that it is the biggest one yet. Like they are filled to the gills. So just seek me out one way. Somebody will find me.
Okay.
And I usually stay put. I have like one little campsite I tend to stay at.
That's the way to do it. And then everyone just kind of wanders through and comes.
People will find me that way. Right. Yeah. And then when I can't take anymore, I'll hide out at another campsite and recharge a little bit. So anyway, well, looking forward to meeting you. Thanks again.
Great. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right, folks, that's it for today. Now, tomorrow, it's going to be Sheriff David Hathaway from Arizona, who's a great guy and who happens to read my newsletter, which gives him the ammunition he needs to fight against all the COVID crazies. And it makes me happy to learn that. And you're going to enjoy our conversation. So in the meantime, if you like and appreciate what's going on here at The Tom Woods Show, check out supportinglisteners.com and join the Tom Woods Show Elite. You get a lot of great benefits, and man, that's a great group to be part of. We got great smart people, good conversations. Check it out, supportinglisteners.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of The Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.